Welcome to Chamber Talk. My name's Andrew, and today we have Sean Clive from Century 21 Astro. Sean, thank you very much for coming in today. Sean's also a Chamber member, and he's also a real estate agent. So, Sean, why don't we start off with a little bit about, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, when you, you know, all that type of stuff.
First of all, Andrew, thank you for having me here at the North Orange County Chamber podcast session. It's an honor to be here. And I've been a chamber member for a few years, yes, and it's really been a very nice experience, and I've enjoyed myself, learned a lot, associated with a lot of people, and I'm glad to be here. So as far as you were asking me how I came here.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, where did it all start? You know, I grew up in the UK, you grew up in India, right?
I grew up in India. Right. I was born and raised in India, in New Delhi, the capital. And I came here in the early 90s. I came here to train to become an airline pilot, actually.
All right.
And that was the career I had chosen back then in the 90s. I already had accomplished a private pilot's license from India, and then I came here to get my commercial pilot's license to fly the airlines. And I was training there. I completed my training, and by the time I completed my training, my visa was going to expire. Mm. But then I was liking staying here and learning, and my family said, well, why don't you just work here instead of going back? Initially, I was going to go back, but then I said, yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. And so then I just changed my immigration status to get a work permit and started working. I was flying, learning, training, getting ready to go for my interviews. And it took some time because it's not easy to keep learning and getting the hours you need. It's an expensive career. And then September 11 happened.
Right.
And when that happened, a lot changed for the airline industry, as everybody knows. A lot of the files were closed up. A lot of the hiring was frozen. And that actually changed a lot for me.
Ooh.
And so that's when the switching of careers started.
So I'm assuming, so you mentioned there, obviously, it sounded like you had to fund the training yourself to pay for the right, right. And then obviously it was all just lost.
Yes, pretty much. I mean, a lot of that training and getting the license and all was lost in the process, and for that's part of life, I think.
So what made that turning point for you to go? I mean, that's a big difference, isn't it? I'm thinking I'm going to be, you know, ding dong, please, you know, sit down or whatever, and I'm flying you over to wherever you're going to suddenly, hey, welcome to your new home. Yeah. Where was that transition? What made you do that?
So the transition, I was then carrying people to their homes, and now I am still selling them their home. So the transition was because started thinking what to do, and I was, when I was working at one of the companies, I was sent for getting a business training diploma into sales and marketing. And I really enjoyed that. It was the Dale Carnegie sales diploma, business and sales diploma. And I really enjoyed that training, and also made me realize that I was pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was good at talking to people. I was good at selling and convincing people about a product that I was promoting. And so that made me realize, oh, why not pick something that I can, you know, use these skills toward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one industry that I really had very little knowledge, because, you know, I came from India and I had never bought a property. So, and here, this whole piece of the American dream is buying a piece of land.
100%,
that's
really
the American dream, is that you buy a piece of land, you make your home. And I had really no knowledge, no education, no experience about that. And so that kind of got me excited that maybe I should look into this industry and see what I can do. And that's how I headed in that direction.
Into that direction. And where did you start off? Because I know you're based in where? Cyprus?
Cerritos,
right now.
So I took some classes. The first step is to take some training, some classes, so you can pass the test, a 3.5-hour test that, you know, which you gets you your state license. So I did that, got the license, and applied at Century 21 Astro. It was the only one office that I ever applied at, got in.
And you're still there today.
24 years later, I'm still there.
Wow, 24 years. So over the 24 years, I was looking on their website, and you've been awarded quite a lot of awards over the years. Yeah. You mind sharing what some of those awards are for and why you would receive such a thing?
So yes, I've been very fortunate to have done well at this office. I've learned a lot. Our broker and our training, you know, the training we get over there, it's very extensive, mm-hmm. and very, very something that I've really benefited from, coming from a completely different industry. And some of it was because of the sales skills that I'd gathered from the Dale Carnegie School, but a lot of it was from my broker, Carol Rayburn. She taught us a lot. And that training sort of, and the drive to succeed in the business sort of helped me. And over the years, I started doing well, and my number of sales increased. And there's one of the highest awards an individual can get at a Century 21 office is called the Centurion Trophy.
Okay, yes.
And it's a gold trophy that looks like kind of like the Oscar. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and that, based on a certain number of sales, if you accomplish that every year, you get awarded that sale, that trophy. And so I've had quite a few of those, yes.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, it's very easy to talk about it.
Yes.
However, there is a lot of hard work that goes that into goes be into able to get that far. Absolutely. And sell that many homes. You mind Absolutely. Sharing, you know, some of the challenges that one faces to be accomplished in the world? Because, you know, there are a lot of real estate agents, but not everybody does it as a full-time, everyday job, where this is your whole career. So you mind sharing, you know, the type of work you have to do to accomplish what you've achieved?
Yeah. So yes, I don't know how to answer that in a really small way, but what I can tell you in a nutshell is the number one thing that you have to devote in this business is time.
Right.
You have to give it time because it's an everyday challenge. It's not a 9-to-5, you know, 30-day job where mm-hmm. at the end of the 30 days you get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I go out, every day we go out, and looking for a job,
mm-hmm.
looking for a transaction. Every day we go hunt for a client. Every day we look for a transaction to get paid at the end of the transaction. Now, our transactions don't take 30 days. Sometimes they take months
mm-hmm.
before we can close a client and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very challenging. It's not for everybody. It's mm-hmm. not for the faint of heart, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a lot of courage. It requires a lot of persistence. That's been my number one asset. I think that I'm very persistent and I don't give up easily. So I keep chasing after stuff, and that's really helped me achieve what I have. Also learning. You have to constantly be learning. You have to constantly keep on top of your game because every industry changes a lot over time. You know, market changes, economy changes, and to keep up with that and to keep learning all the new laws, all the new changes that come in the forms. They were back in the day was 5 pages. Today our little purchase contract is almost 16 pages. So it's you keep learning and you have to sound smart because with, you know, in our business, or for that matter, any business, every consumer has a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And how you stand out to make them choose you, these are the steps you have to take. So my time investment was a lot. And, you know, it's a lot of sacrifice. You give up time at home with your family, with your children, with your loved ones. You give up time that you can invest in yourself mm-hmm. for, you know, any relaxations and stuff. You have to find time to balance between, and it's tough, and I'm not trying to say I've balanced it. I think I'm still learning how to balance, but it's certainly been a challenge doing that and keeping invested in your business because it's a business
mm-hmm.
and you are the CEO of this business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No one's gonna run it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your brokers, your partners can only teach you so much, but then you have to run it and implement it and make it work for you.
Right.
It's like when you buy, you know, selling hamburgers, you still have to make the hamburgers and sell hamburgers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not going to run by itself.
Sure.
And so that's just the way it is. That's the way I've seen it, and that's the way I've invested a lot of time. It's been a sacrifice. It's been a long journey, but it's been, that's the way I've succeeded. I think every career requires some sort of investment in it, and our investment is really time and effort and persistence.
So there's a few things that you mentioned there I'd like to touch on, and we'll touch on in the law type in a moment. But, you know, one of the things you were mentioning there is that, you know, you have to give up time with your family, your kids and things like that, which a lot of folks don't realize is, you know, we see these TV programs of real estate agents and they just seem to like hanging out in the office for a little bit, then partying and all the rest of it. But obviously, you know, there is an investment amount of time you have to put in there, which brings me into this type of question really is, when you purchase or sell a house, there is a huge area there that people don't really know unless they've been in it, which is basically like this emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
For both. Like, it's not just for you, but it's also
Absolutely.
For the client.
Yes.
How do you, you know, how do you adapt your not tactics, but how do you adapt to work alongside somebody when they're like that, because there's a lot going on, isn't there? And you have to be really calm and collective. And how do you deal with those types of situations?
So over the years of my career, Andrew, I've realized that I've, as a realtor, have to wear many hats.
Yeah.
And sometimes we are wearing hats of not just a real estate agent, but a family counselor. I've sat with couples who are not on good terms. I've sat with families going through emotional turmoils, loss of a loved one, changes in their life. And so we have to deal with a lot of emotions. Buying and selling a home is probably second after losing a loved one the list of very emotionally stressful part of their life.
You know?
When they buy, they're excited, they're happy, but at the same time nervous about their finances, about the changes that they're coming. Selling, if they grew up in a home, I've seen people break down and cry, and when they're losing a home or they're selling with all their memories in that they've made over the years, it's a very emotional ride for both the buyers and the sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be their hand holder. We have to be their supporter, not just trying to make the, you know, bricks and mortar move here and there and sign papers and get out of the way, but you have to sort of be with them and feel their emotions and work with them. And that's why I feel like at the same time, I'm also a psychologist or a therapist. And you know, like we wear many hats, and it's not an easy task at some times when you are sitting with someone who's sharing with you how they have spent 30 years of their life in this home, and mm-hmm. now they have to move.
Mm-hmm.
The compassion that comes with it, we have to be able to share that and work with them and make them feel that's life. Changes are part of life. And
To be fair, there's not many, you know, sale jobs, because everybody's in sales.
Yes.
You know, doctors in sales. You've got to use that doctor rather than the other doctor down the road, right? So everybody's in sales. But there's not many jobs or sale professions where you have to come in so quickly, so deep and emotionally tied with individuals as a person who's helping them through that particular sale process.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? So I can understand that. Now, sort of leading on a little bit from that, you mentioned earlier about how, you know, you have to work so hard continuously to keep up, you know, with finding new work and things like that. And I know you help people buy and sell homes. You don't just like do the one. And you also do commercial real estate as well, and things like that.
I just got certified to do the commercial.
Congratulations on that one. So how does somebody find an agent, the right agent? Like, how do they go about it? Is it just simply Google search and, oh, Century 21 Astro's in our town, I'll call them? Or what's that process? What does somebody do? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks do go online for everything, starting from food to clothes to watching a movie, a restaurant, everything is online.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, they do reach out to pick and see who they can find online first, mm-hmm. But our industry is also referred. We are referred, you know, through mm-hmm. people they know, their family or friends. So choosing an agent, I think what they really need to look at is a lot of the experience the agent brings on the table, the wealth of knowledge we bring, and sort of, you know, what they've achieved so far, how are they presented on online, how they, you know, how you can see from everything is online, like I said, and we kind of need to put ourselves out there to and show what we have achieved, how we have done it, and our in our industry also numbers may mean a lot, and so the number of sales we've had, a good part of that is reviews.
Mm-hmm.
We get reviews from each sale.
Okay.
And the sellers, the buyers, and we present those reviews as part of our marketing.
Where
and
can somebody find those reviews?
On website like Zillow, Realtor.com, where you have your website, mm-hmm. and all of those reviews are posted. And that's where most of them, they read the reviews from previous clients, and that's really testimonial to mm-hmm, your mm-hmm. to your success, and mm-hmm. And you know, that's pretty much what they should look at, the reviews. They should look at the experience, the number of years in the industry, and what they have gained over the years, you know.
So let's just say, for example, and I'm talking a little bit from experience here, but only a slight bit. So let's say I'm looking for a home and I'm breezing through Zillow there, and I see one, and I click on it, and as you know, often down below it's not always the person representing it, it's whoever's advertising on
right,
Zillow.
Right.
What should an individual do at that time? Do you feel they should just go with that, or should they have done a little bit of research first and they already have an agent and they say, you know, I looked at this home, this is the address, like, help someone out here. What should they do?
So look, when you find somebody online, it's always good. First of all, I would say interview a couple of them. It
sure.
doesn't hurt.
Okay.
Interview a couple people, see what they have to offer, their experience, their knowledge of the neighborhood you're looking in, the resources they have that you can use when the time comes, and what, you know.
Or afterwards,
or
right?
Afterwards,
I mean, you know,
absolutely.
Somebody else, give them a call.
We
right.
don't, you know, like, We're in this for long haul.
Mm-hmm,
we don't just
mm-hmm.
sell a home and walk away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I with this storm that just happened, I got at least four or five of my past clients who mm-hmm. had sold homes to maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling me for roof issues mm-hmm. and leaking issues mm-hmm. and plumbing issues. And we always have to step up and take
sure.
care of business, because you don't just finish a file,
lock
it
away.
Up in the storage
right.
and you're done.
Right.
You know, we're always there for them. And so, making sure that, yes, that they have good, reasonable resources to offer, and just to interview the knowledge of the realtor for the neighborhood, for the area, what can they share, what can they, you know, work with you, and what you're looking for kind of coincides with what their knowledge is, and
mm-hmm.
and kind of work from there and see how that pans out for you.
So you mentioned, thank you for sharing that, so you mentioned a little bit earlier about some, you know, about laws and how they affect sometimes buying and selling and
yes.
things like that too, and we'll get on to a little bit about the challenges that the real estate industry is facing right now in just a moment. But I know earlier, before we started the podcast, when we were talking about, you know, your industry, we were just chatting away, you'd mentioned that, you know, there's been some big changes regarding the Prop 19 with people who are over 55. You want to share to listeners a little bit about
yes,
that?
Yes, I would definitely like to talk to all of our older folks, the over 55 and the seniors. There are a couple of good laws that have been implemented recently that should be something they should look into if they are planning on moving or selling, or you know, when they're at that age where they have to look into the next steps of their life,
mm-hmm.
the golden years, where they want to spend them. A lot of folks bought homes years and years ago and are now empty nesters.
Mm.
Their kids have moved on. They have too much of a home to worry about. And there are a lot of programs out there now. With Prop 19, they can actually sell their home, and with the prices there are, of course, they're going to get a good sale, and they can buy of equal or more. Now, they don't have to buy less. They can buy of more value and still take their old tax base to their new property with a very little difference in their taxes.
Oh, wow.
Back with the Proposition 60 and 90, they could sell their property, but they had to buy of equal or lesser. Lesser is very hard these days unless you move further out.
Right, right.
If you're living, depending on where you live, you sell your home with the prices these days, they're going to get a good price for their property. Now, to find something lower than that is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So if they find something, even if it's smaller, but if it's more money, if it's a higher price, they can still use the same tax base with a very small difference.
Okay.
And make use of it so they don't have to worry about, where am I going to go if I sell the house? Where will I be? And of course, there are other senior places that are cost effective as well, and they can move there as well. And we help with all of that.
Mm. I was going to ask you that question. So regarding that, because obviously it's a new thing for somebody, do you help put them in the right channel or the right pathway regarding doing the taxes? You put them in, or is it part of the agreement? How does that help?
Yes, it depends. If they don't, unless they're moving in with a family member or they have another property to move in, we will help them find something that is suitable to, there are 55 plus communities
that
they
can move these
to
days.
Everywhere.
Right, right,
every
yeah.
city
mm-hmm.
has plenty of them now that they can move to, or they can move to senior retirement communities mm-hmm. that they can go to. So mm-hmm. that's something we always help with. I'm affiliated with Oakmont.
Mm.
Oakmont is a really very, very famous, and they've got locations all over California, mm-hmm. and they can provide housing for seniors when they're retired and mm-hmm. in their later years. The other portion of this that I would like to share, Andrew, mm-hmm. is that there was another law that was recently passed, another bill that was passed. It was AB 1033.
Okay.
And you must have heard the word ADU a lot that everybody is talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that is, AB 1033 now allows retirees mm-hmm. and people who are, who own a property with a lot of land in the back, they can actually build ADUs and sell them or rent them out with the same principles and laws that apply to condominiums.
Oh.
So they can sell them as condominiums, they can rent them, they can sell them, they can buy them, and the same principles and rules apply that apply to condominiums. So mm-hmm. right now it's in only some participating cities, but I'm pretty sure this soon will be available
across the nation type thing.
So this bill was really, really a good bill for people who can build if there's a couple that does not need a garage per se
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and have the land available in the back. They can just make that garage into an ADU.
Mm-hmm.
ADU stands for accessory dwelling unit.
Yes.
And so what that can do is they can build that. They can either rent it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now that brings added income to them mm-hmm, once they're mm-hmm. retired, or they can even sell it.
Mm.
Or rent it out, and then that provides housing.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with housing, the mm-hmm. crisis we're going through, shortage of housing. Plus, it helps with the people who need an extra income
sure.
to have that. Or if they have other family members who are caretakers,
mm-hmm.
for instance, for them.
Yeah, they can stay there and watch them. Look after them. Right,
absolutely.
Right.
Pay some kind of a nominal rent and
sure.
stay there.
So
it helps in various ways.
Out of interest, because, you sat at home, you got a plot of land, you got a decent sized double garage in the back there, and you've heard about this or whatever. What would you think would reaching out to a real estate agent, a seasoned it yourself, would that be a good start for somebody to even understand what they may have out there? Because you've still got to go through planning and everything else.
Absolutely.
But where would somebody start to find out about, would this make sense for me? What are my options?
Yes. Reaching out to a realtor who knows their area, who knows the rules and the laws, and if that city participates, is definitely a great idea. The first thing would be to check and see what the rule is with the city,
mm-hmm.
because the city has to allow it. And then you can hire and a construction company
mm-hmm.
that specializes in ADU
in ADUs,
constructions.
Right.
And I've had several ADU construction companies come by our office and introduce themselves and done presentations, so we know that and shown us what they've done.
Mm.
So we know their experience, and we can always refer out our resources to people who are looking to do that. So
mm-hmm.
get an agent on your, get an agent in your neighborhood or someone you know to answer some of those questions. Start with the city, see what the rules and regulations are, and then work with a construction company that is specializing in that kind of construction for ADUs and kind of work from there.
And just for our listeners, would somebody like yourself, would you also, if the individual wanted to go that route and then said, well, actually, I want to rent it out, would you be able to help them
absolutely.
Understanding how to do
absolutely.
The rent thing? It's not just sales. You can
no,
also
absolutely.
Help
I do help my clients with rentals. People who have bought homes previously are wanting to move up and they don't want to sell that previous home, then we help them rent it out.
Oh, that's cool.
Not a problem. Rents are on the rise, as always, and it's so easy to rent a home these days, Andrew. It's like it's in a breeze. You'll have a line of people wanting to rent.
But what you can do is provide the right paperwork.
Absolutely.
So that they're legally protected.
Absolutely.
Or, right, right.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. So, Sean, there's so much information out there on social media and on the internet anyway, all about what's going on in the industry right now. Do you want to share some of the real challenges that you're facing?
So the number one challenge right now, Andrew, in our industry is the lack of inventory.
Mm-hmm.
All this chaos about overbidding and paying more than what the house is worth is all as a result of a lack of inventory in the market.
Okay.
And it's been this way for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, buyers, there's tons of buyers out there. There's a lot of demand, pent up as well as active demand,
mm-hmm.
but there's not enough housing. Even new construction, even the builders are not able to cope up with the demand.
Mm.
There is, and build fast enough to mm-hmm. fulfill that demand.
Mm-hmm.
Since COVID happened, and the rates came crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, I would say 60% of the population refinanced to the twos and threes that were available at the time.
Sure.
And now with the rising rates, those homeowners who even may want to move are holding on to their properties because they don't want to get rid of their rates.
Right.
To now buy with the new higher rates that mm-hmm. we have. And
mm-hmm.
so all of this has created just even more severe shortage of homes in the market, which is, you know, the ripple effect of that is that the people are buying, but they're bidding out each other. They're
right.
trying to buy so much more than the house is actually worth over the asking price. And all of this chaos really created is because of the shortage of inventory.
So in that case, then, if somebody's looking to purchase a home, because most of us look at an area we want to be in, would you advise maybe, well, hey, let's look a little bit further out of the area? Or, I mean, is that because you can't fix the situation?
That's right.
So, you know, what do you do in that
yes.
stage?
Yes. See, majority of our buyers these days are millennials. Millennials who have been either renting apartments or living at home with family. Now they have saved up. They've got good jobs. They're educated. And so they are the ones out looking. They're starting families. They're getting married, partnering, whatever. And they are getting ready to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And the new thing that was introduced as a result of COVID is working from home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so they don't really have to drive a lot to go to their offices.
Mm-hmm,
even some of them that do have to do it a few times a week,
sure.
two or three times a week. Some not at all. I have clients who don't go to work at all. They just work from home.
Right.
So now everybody needs a home-based office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's created even more surge of purchases over the last few years is because of the home-based office. Now people want to get out of apartments,
right.
get out of their parents' home, have their own home so they can have an office and work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the case, then they can actually buy anywhere.
That's true.
They
right,
don't need
right.
to be near their jobs. They don't need to be in a, you know, expensive high suburban neighborhood. They can go a little bit more inland and look for a nice property. And I've had people looking further away, but of course, if they have children, then they want to have the good schools, and
sure.
then the good schools, of course, are in the suburbs. So that's what is difference between the two kinds of buyers. But the millennials who are working from home are actually the remote workers. They're all happy to buy anywhere as long as they get a good home and a good price. And that should help instead of just concentrating into that
in
same
that area. I actually read some time ago, and I don't even know if it's still out there, but I read that certain cities or states were actually offering people certain incentives to move out to those areas.
Yeah.
I don't know even, is that something you've heard of? Or
it's happening some places, not very common here. I've, you know, city keeps coming out with programs.
Oh yeah, not in California.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't need that.
They did come out with that, they are coming out with that Dream for All program
mm.
where the government is offering down payment assistance to
right.
first-time home buyers so they could go buy somewhere. And then they have, it's a shared appreciation program where you have to, when you sell the house, you pay back.
You pay them back, don't you?
With a little
bit
of appreciation.
They had it for a bit, then they stopped it, then they
No, they had it for a bit. It got sold out. It was done.
And
within 7 days, it was gone. The first round of the Dream for All that came out, there was so many applications that the money just finished within a matter of 6-7 days. There is another round coming out in a couple months, but we'll see what happens.
So it's like a lottery almost.
It's like a lottery. Wow. Now they're going to pick by lottery.
Yeah.
Before it was first come, first serve. And
right.
So
makes
you
sense.
Can imagine free money, and it came and went like a breeze.
Yeah,
so
I bet.
It was just, yeah. So yeah, cities are offering, you know, there are down payment assistance programs. There are programs that some cities subsidize housing that's being offered to lower income families.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then, you know, you can check with your city and see what's available in the city you want to buy. And there are programs that are trying to help, but, you know,
housing
certain
people.
Properties being built for only subsidized buyers, subsidized income buyers. And so it's just a matter of seeing what that city has to offer.
So now we know a little bit more about the industry, which automatically think, oh gosh, what do I do? What advice would you give somebody who's, you know, thinking, planning on purchasing a home? Do I just go for it? Do I wait? Like, what would you say to those type of folks?
Yeah. But Andrew, an interesting story to share with you. I have a family member who about some 20 years ago was looking to buy a property, and we went out, showed some homes to them, and then they decided to wait and say, oh, the rates will come down, the prices will come down. They started timing the market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been 20 years now or more, and they're still waiting to buy a property.
So they're still renting today?
They're still renting. Oh, wow. And I keep, every time I meet with them, I tell them, look, over the years, how much you have wasted in rents, which is actually about $250,000 or some dollars, which could have been their equity today or more.
Really?
With the appreciation we've had.
Sure.
50% equity and every homeowner has these days. So it's increase in equity. And so they could have had a lot more than that even today. So my advice is, if you're ready, never wait.
Right.
If you're ready, you start looking, no matter what the market is, no matter what the prices are, no matter what the interest rates are. Could it only get worse, you know? Is there, people keep asking, there's a crash coming. There is so much demand. There is so much, the interest rates are great. We are pretty much at a normal level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I bought my first property, I paid 6.5 or 6.375, somewhere there back in 99-2000. That was the rate back then.
Yeah.
So we're in that normal market
adjustment
again.
Adjustment type thing, right?
We're just spoiled from the last few years of threes and twos that we had. But never wait. Just when you're ready, if you're ready, you've got the means, you've got the plan to go, let's start helping you and finding you a home. Don't wait and time the market.
Well, you actually had a really nice, quick, clever phrase before when you were talking about interest rates. What was
yes.
that?
there's a saying in our industry, marry the house and date the rate. What that means is, I know it sounds funny, you means marry the house, keep the house. You find a good place, buy it, hold on to it. Rate, you can always change. You can always refinance when the rates come down and lower your payment. But if you find a house you like, keep it, get it, and just hold on to it.
Makes total sense. So we've talked a lot about you, and we've discussed, you know, a lot of different things about the industry. But one thing we haven't touched on is actually the umbrella that supports you and other fellow agents, which Century 21 Astro.
Yes.
You want to share a little bit about, because there are plenty of different real estate companies out there. You want to share a little bit about
that? So Century 21 is one of the largest real estate companies in the world, not just United States, but we're global. We're pretty much everywhere. There's one in China. There's one in Europe. There's one. I had a coworker who went to Spain, and she was standing under a Century 21 office, pointing fingers and showing how she found an office there. So yeah. So I think I've been privileged to work at a really great office, Century 21 Astro. We've been there about 31 plus years.
Mm.
That's when our broker started. It's in Cerritos, and the cool thing, we've had some, besides all the training and the resources and everything that we've been given as a team, the thing that really stands our office out is the diversity in that office.
Okay.
I've seen so many other offices in Orange County and LA County. They're not as diverse as our offices. Our office, and then we've been fortunate to even win a lot of the diversity awards that Century 21 gives out. We have over 20 different languages spoken at our company.
Oh, that's big,
English,
isn't it?
Chinese, Mandarin, Spanish, Indian languages, African languages. We've got a whole lot of languages and diversity in that office. And so we cater to every kind of client, every kind of consumer. Mm-hmm. California, Andrew, is a very diverse state.
I believe
there are people coming from all corners of the world.
Well, we can both attest to, if we were in our native countries right now, if we took our driving test at the DMV, would we be able to do it in any other language apart from our own?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. So, being such a diverse state, we have clients coming from all over the corners of the world, and some not as fluent in English as we're able to converse, and sometimes we partner up with another native speaking language agent, and we're able to help the client. And that's, I think, our office stands out of really from in that regard. We've won awards for being the most diverse office, of course, customer service oriented and all of that, and we've had several awards as being one of the top offices in our region, and that has really helped because Century 21 is anybody driving around, you see the sign, Century 21, they know these folks sell homes.
Right, right.
They don't have to think twice. Like McDonald's, you drive around, you see McDonald's, there's your
hamburger. You're going to get a burger. Right.
Same way, you drive around, you see Century 21. You speak the word Century 21 in a group of non-English speaking people, and they'll tell you that these folks sell homes.
Right, right.
So I think it's a great place to start. I was very fortunate to learn at a very great office. And I'm still there, and I think it's a great place. And that umbrella, yes, has really helped my growth as an individual, as a real estate agent.
So, Sean, as we're nearing the end of this podcast, I always ask this question, folks, because I want them to feel they've got a real freedom of speech, and it wasn't all scripted or anything. Is there anything you would like to share that we missed, or you would like to reiterate on, or just share with us?
Yes, the last thing I would like to say is that in our business or in any business, networking is very important.
Mm.
I am really happy and privileged to be a part of North Orange County Chamber of Commerce. That helps me to grow myself and my name in circles where, I probably wouldn't reach if I was just sitting in my office and working every day. This networking helps me to expand my network. I can share not only information related to real estate, but I have resources like meeting different people through the chamber. Now I have a connection that I can offer to my clients or people looking for any kind of resource, whether it is related to real estate or just someone probably in the hotel industry. Like we had the network event at the Buena Park Hotel,
that's
and
right.
I able to meet the manager and have connections with him. And I know recently somebody asked me where should they hold some of their gatherings, and that's the first place I referred
them to,
because
right.
I said Javier, who's the manager
that
I referred him to. So I think it is great to network. It's great to grow yourself. It's all about networking. It's all about growing, meeting people, building your resource of connections. So you never know when you might be able to share something of value to someone who's looking for it. And that just helps you grow as well. So
that's
I think it's a sort of, it's a chain, a reaction to continuing to grow in all areas, not just our own. So thank you to North Orange County Chamber. I've been a member for several years, and I just really am happy and privileged to be here.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah. Well, that's tail's end to the end, and that was a very nice ending, so I do appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate
thank
your time today. For those who've tuned in, thank you very much for listening, and we hope you'll visit nocchamber.com and select sign up for news at the top of the page to join our mailing list.